Good to see so many of you here braving the tropical rains, the tough times to be here, but appreciate all of you coming out for this very, very special solemnity. I've now been here for just over 3 months. And again, I want to say that it's a great joy to be here with you at St. Mary Help of Christians. I did not ask for this assignment, but I'm thrilled that the Lord chose to send me here. One of the first things I noticed here is that there is truly a great love and devotion to the Holy Eucharist at this parish. I can see it in your eyes and in your responses. That being true, however, many of you need to be reminded of the proper way to receive Jesus in the most Holy Eucharist. I've given this talk at all the other Masses as well. During his time as our bishop, Bishop Guglielmone wrote a letter to his priest addressing some areas of concern within the liturgies of the diocese. His words were appropriate then and still are for today. In paragraph 3, he wrote, "I believe that people need some re-instruction on the appropriate way to receive communion, especially when receiving in the hand. Also, my experience indicates that over 50% of those receiving communion do not respond amen after the proclamation, the body of Christ." Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, "The greatest love story of all time is contained in a tiny white host." Accordingly, it follows that properly receiving our Lord in the Holy Eucharist is of critical importance. First, some things that you should not do when receiving communion in the hand. And I've personally experienced all of these actions in my time here. And please do not dismiss what I'm saying as applying only to someone else, not to you. I assure you that many of you really need to hear what I'm about to say. You should not present both of your hands side by side, making some kind of a V. There is no place for me to put the host, and there's a great chance that the host will fall off your hands when you try to consume it. If you are walking with a cane, holding a baby, or have a cast on one arm, you should receive on the tongue. Otherwise, the only way you can put the host in your mouth with one hand is by popping it like a vitamin pill. This is not showing reverence to our Lord. It's not showing reverence to our Lord in the Most Holy Eucharist. The Eucharist is not a vitamin pill. You should not attempt to snatch the host from my hand with your thumb and forefinger. Some of you present your hands in a pincer form, attempting to grab the host. The Eucharist is to be received, not taken, not grabbed. The host is not a cookie or a potato chip to be snacked upon. The proper way to receive communion in the hand is to do a slight head bow as you approach the priest or extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. Then put your left hand on top of your right hand and make a throne for the host. After the priest puts the host on your hand, take one step away, then use your right hand and put the host into your mouth. You should not attempt to walk away with the host. About a month ago, I had someone receive the host in his left hand, then cover it with his right hand and start walking away from me. You should take a step and receive the host, consume the host right there. If you are receiving on the tongue, and yes, that is still the preferred way to receive, you make a slight head bow and then make sure you get close enough to me so that I can get the host on your tongue. I have alligator arms, right? So you must come in close. Make sure you open your mouth wide and extend your tongue over your bottom lip for about an inch, so that the priest has a place to put the host. Some of you are opening your mouth no wider than the slot on an ATM machine, and it's very hard to get the host into your mouth. Please open your mouth wide and extend your tongue below your lower lip. It's the only time that you get to stick out your tongue at the priest, right? Finally, when the priest says the body of Christ, you're supposed to say amen. This is your way of saying, "It is so. I believe that the host is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ." The Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. Your amen is a basic and fundamental statement of your belief in the Holy Eucharist. We should be proud to profess our faith. Today, in thousands of cities, towns, and villages on every continent, our brothers and sisters in Christ are walking the streets of the world in the solemn processions known as Corpus Christi. This afternoon, we had an awesome procession. After the 1 o'clock Mass, Hispanics put up no less than 4 altars. We had beautiful music, beautiful singing, wonderful procession. Corpus Christi, the body of Christ, the most holy body and blood of Christ. This is the great mystery we celebrate today, the sacrament of the Eucharist, the greatest of the sacraments. The Eucharist is not just a symbol of Christ's spiritual presence. It is not just a reminder of Christ's self-offering in the past. No, Jesus is truly present in this sacrament. As the Catechism teaches us, in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, the body and blood, together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore the whole Christ, is truly, really, and substantially contained. This is why St. Paul, in today's second reading, calls Holy Communion a participation in the body and blood of Christ. This is why Jesus himself, in today's gospel reading, repeats six times that his flesh is real food and his blood is real drink. This wonderful, mind-boggling mystery reveals just how much Jesus loves us. He loves us so much that he wants his own life to flow through our veins. He wants to accompany us always and everywhere until he leads us home to be with him forever in heaven. Jesus in the Eucharist is the everlasting fulfillment of the ancient prophecy that our Savior will be Emmanuel, that is, God with us. Though we have sinned, Christ loves us too much to abandon us. He longs to stay with us, to walk with us, to share, redeem, and give meaning to every detail, to every encounter, to every nook and cranny of our lives. Many of you will recall that God called me from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod into full communion with the Catholic Church. I'm most thankful for the richness of the Lutheran tradition within which I grew up. I have powerful memories of an emphasis on the Word of God, of great worshipful hymns, of a beautiful liturgy, and memories of good and holy pastors, but no significant memories of receiving communion. Why is that? Could it be that I was just not paying attention? No. Quite simply, it's because Lutherans do not have the Holy Eucharist. They have something they refer to as Holy Communion, but it is not the Holy Eucharist. If you have no validly ordained priest, you have no Holy Eucharist. Catechism tells us that the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. All of the other sacraments and all ministries are bound up with it and ordained to it. This is one of the reasons that the Church celebrates the Feast of Corpus Christi. We can see the incredible richness of the sacrament in the Catechism that uses no less than 15 different phrases to describe the Eucharist. I will review just a few of them for you. It's called Eucharist because it is an action of thanksgiving to God. The Greek words Eucharistein and Eulogin recall the Jewish blessings that proclaim, especially during a meal, God's works, creation, redemption, and sanctification. The Lord's Supper, because of its connection with the supper in which the Lord took his disciples on the eve of his passion, and because it anticipates the wedding feast of the Lamb in the heavenly Jerusalem. The breaking of the bread. Because Jesus used this rite, part of a Jewish meal, when as master of the table he blessed and distributed the bread, above all at the Last Supper. It is by this action that his disciples will recognize him after the resurrection, and it is this expression that the first Christians will use to designate their Eucharistic assemblies. By doing so, they signified that all who eat the one broken bread, Christ, enter into communion with him and form one body with him. Another phrase is the Eucharistic assembly, synaxis. Because the Eucharist is celebrated amid the assembly of the faithful, the visible expression of the church. It's a memorial of the Lord's passion and resurrection. It's also called the Holy Sacrifice because it makes present the one sacrifice of Christ the Savior and includes the church's offering. The terms Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, Sacrifice of Praise, Spiritual Sacrifice, Pure and Holy Sacrifice are also used, since it completes and surpasses all the sacrifices of the Old Testament. Called Holy Communion, because by this sacrament we unite ourselves to Christ, who makes us sharers in his body and blood to form a single body. We also call it the Holy Things, or in Latin, ta hagia sancta. It is the first meaning of the phrase communion of the saints in the Apostles' Creed, the bread of angels, bread from heaven, medicine of immortality, or viaticum. Blessed Imelda Lambertini had a remarkable experience of this Christ's love in the Eucharist. She lived in Bologna, Italy in the 1300s. She wanted to be a nun from the time she was a very little girl, and she joined that Dominican convent at the age of 9 to better prepare herself for the day when she would take the habit. Her greatest desire was to receive Holy Communion, but in those days you had to be at least 12 years to be able to receive communion. Imelda begged for an exception to the rule, but the priest refused. She kept praying for special permission. Her prayers were miraculously answered on the Feast of the Ascension in the year 1333. After Mass, she stayed in her place in the chapel where one of the nuns was putting away the sacred vessels. Suddenly, the nun heard a noise and turned towards Imelda. Hovering in mid-air in front of Imelda, as she knelt in prayer, was a sacred host, the Blessed Eucharist, shining with a bright and forceful light. The frightened nun ran to find the priest. By the time the priest arrived, the rest of the nuns and other onlookers had crowded around, awestruck, into the chapel. When the priest saw the shining, hovering host, he put on his vestments, went over to the girl, took the miraculous host in his hands, and gave her Holy Communion. Some minutes later, after the crowd had dispersed, the Mother Superior came over to Imelda to call her to breakfast. She found the girl still kneeling with a smile on her face, but Imelda was dead. She had died of love in ecstasy after receiving Christ in the Eucharist. Jesus had longed to be with her even more than she longed to be with him. Blessed Imelda's body is incorrupt, and you can still see it today in the church where she is interred in Bologna, Italy. She is the patron saint of First Holy Communicants. In today's busy and superficial culture, it's easy for us to lose our sense of wonder in the face of this awe-inspiring gift, to take the mystery and miracle of the Eucharist for granted. But when we stop appreciating this heavenly food, we soon stop hungering for it. We start hungering for more wealth, pleasures, reputation, and success than for God. But then our spiritual eyes become weak from lack of nourishment. We give in to temptations, wandering away from the Good Shepherd. Jesus, our Lord, does not want that to happen. He wants us to stay close to him, as close as he is to us, because only he can bring us true, lasting happiness. Only he can save us from sin and lead us to heaven. Today, then, may we renew our faith in this great sacrament. Let's renew our commitment to receive it in Holy Communion worthily, consciously, and with deep desire. We can help ourselves do that in several ways. One, coming to church early to pray in silence before the Mass begins. Prepare your heart to receive Jesus, speaking only when we need to and in a quiet tone of voice while we're in church, out of respect for the Eucharist and courtesy for those who are praying. taking care with how we dress when we come to Sunday Mass, knowing that we are about to receive our King. And above all, make sure we never come to Holy Communion without having first gone to confession if we have fallen into mortal sin. By going to confession, we end our sinful rebellion against God so that we can once again receive Him worthily. And then when we do receive Holy Communion with Christ inside us, we can speak to Him about everything in our lives, following the advice of St. Francis de Sales, who wrote, "When you have received Him, stir up your heart to do Him homage. Speak to Him about your spiritual life, gazing upon Him in your soul where He is present for your happiness. Welcome Him as warmly as possible and behave outwardly in such a way that your actions may give proof to all of His presence." Unquote. In just a few moments, Jesus will renew His commitment to us by offering Himself to us in the Eucharist. When He does, may we also renew our commitment to Him.